Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every morning. Welcome our 41,000-plus listeners to this show here on Blog Talk Radio, Home Based Business 101. And we want to wish everybody out there happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Those of you getting ready for tomorrow for Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa. And, you know, we just want to tell people to enjoy the time to spend with your family and your loved ones as you celebrate this holiday season. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Well, as you know, this week we're wrapping up our series we've been doing for the last 2 weeks on the reviewing the works of Brother George Sabir, who transitioned and became an ancestor on December the 10th, 2010. A week after doing a major show here with us here on Home-Based Business 101, as we were preparing for the upcoming Kwanzaa season in 2010, and he did a show around Ujamaa, the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, cooperative economics, and how to deal with that principle in relationship to the African-American community. And that principle is to build our own store shops and other businesses and to profit from them together. Cooperative economics. And you know, he's written several books. The book that we're going over this week is Getting Black Folks to Sell. And we started on that book yesterday, and we're going to go into a couple of things with that book this morning and a couple more things tomorrow morning and Thursday morning and then Friday morning. And then Friday morning, we'll wrap up with sharing with you a project that me and George was working on that was able to finally get going and having that project in existence, and share some information about that project. So let's dive back into the book, and spark. We're going to take some of the reasons that George lists. He lists reasons for blacks to learn the selling skill. Well, number one, as he said, black labor is becoming obsolete. The first reason why black people need to learn this new skill called selling is because many of their old skills are no longer useful. Black labor is becoming obsolete. Over at that time, he said, 364-year tradition was close to a 400-year tradition now of laboring for white folks is coming to a halt. Not because they don't like blacks, but because they don't need our labor. They have machines, computers, robots doing faster, bigger, cheaper, and all night long. So here we sit as black people with a resume listing 400 years of experience in something that is less and less needed. While this is bad enough, our children are dropping out of school at such a rate or graduating with such poor skills that the national employment market sees them as only qualified for labor-related positions. This means a less desirable category of worker seems to be the very category that is expanding the fastest in our community. And this is very, very significant when you look at, as he said, the dropout ratio. I mean, I know in Baltimore, Maryland, 75 to 80% of African-American males do not finish school. Where are they going to go to work? Those that are finishing, as George says, only a few have skills that are highly marketable. Most people have very poor marketable skills. He goes on to say, how does learning to sell address this problem? Well, let's look at a few things. Regardless of how many foreign goods are coming into this country, they all fit under one category. They are items which have to be sold. The more things there are to sell, the greater the need for people and companies to sell them. Secondly, selling, unlike many other professionals, is much more of a response of desire than actual skills. One could want very, very, very badly to be a basketball pro, a hit singer, or a neurosurgeon, or a governor. But if the skills, intellect, and conditions are luck, are not there, you won't make it. And again, as I talked about yesterday, you know, it seems as though in our community, with a young man, it's like their dream is basketball, rap, but because they have no other skills, can't make it as a rapper or a basketball player, then people go to the crime of selling drugs. Wow. Now, that's sales, but then again, it's not sales, as they told me once before. A young person told me he didn't sell drugs. He said, I don't make nobody buy them. He said, people know you got it. They come look for you. They want it. So, again, conditions being what they are, you know, we really need to learn this skill of selling in a positive way. George goes on to say, virtually anyone, however, who wants to be a salesperson can become one because it's simply a matter of improving something that we all do every day. We all communicate. We all listen. We all try to persuade. We all try to please people. Selling involves learning how to do these things better using no other tool than the ones that virtually all of us were endowed with at birth. Finally, even though the so-called hardcore unemployed live in the deepest parts of the ghetto, money is still there and plenty of buying is still going on. If this were not the case, people from other parts of the world wouldn't be knocking each other over in an effort to set up businesses in these so-called poor areas. You see what he just said there? People talk about how poor the neighborhood is, but yet you find foreigners in our neighborhood opening up stores and doing other things. Number two reason why he said, important reason to learn sales. This is number two, the underutilization of black college graduates. He says, during my lectures around the country, I asked the audience two simple questions. First, I asked all of those who know someone with a college degree who is unemployed to raise their hand. Usually at least 25% of the group know someone in this category. Then I asked them to raise their hands if they know a college graduate who is underemployed or working a job that doesn't require a college degree or pays less than what a college graduate would be expected to make. At least half of the people in the room responded to the second question. Oftentimes, the audience is very surprised that so many people know underutilized black college graduates. Their surprise is based on several things. First, although a college degree is rather common these days, the percentage of African Americans having one is still considered an achievement in most cities. To be black, educated, and live in an era where affirmative action hiring programs exist in the thousands of companies should firstly guarantee at least some form of employment, or apparently does not. Many folks thought that the unemployed or underemployed people that they knew are exceptions. They are either lazy, undecided, or otherwise at fault for their situations. Perhaps some are. When hundreds of hands go up among audience around the country, however, it is a clear indication that something is wrong, or at least it should be. I say should be because one would think that if a particular approach is not working, then it should be reexamined for the most part. This is not happening in the black community. The reason for the unemployment among young educated blacks is always blamed on the administration. It doesn't matter who's in office at the time. The answer is always the same. It's my personal opinion that black folks have a blind allegiance to the value of a college education. It is, of course, clearly understandable. A nation of whites constantly tell us how unqualified we are. Consequently, we saw college as the human mechanic shop. Whatever was wrong or unfinished with us would be fixed in college. By doing what we were told and learning what we were told for 4 years, we would reach the state of perfection called qualified. Of course, we weren't clear as to what we would be qualified to do, but we were told over and over again to make sure we get that piece of paper, the degree. But now the truth is known to almost everyone. College success is no assurance of personal financial success. It's not even assurance of constant employment. Wow. Wow. I mean, it just makes so much sense. I mean, we see it even, he wrote this in the late 80s, going into the 90s, and here we're in 2012, and we see the proliferation of this today. He says, Selling resolves the same dilemma for educated, unemployed blacks as it does for his or her less educated brothers and sisters. Just as the labor skills possessed by many unemployed laborers have become obsolete in today's economy, so too are many of the subject areas studied in college. That means non-technical liberal arts type of studies have very little, if any, appeal to the people who do the hiring in this country. Of course, I'm sure you have probably heard a much different tune from corporate America. We like our employees to have a broad background and understanding of the world before we train them for more specific functions within our company, they say. Sure, that reason applies if you're white, have a Greenwich, Connecticut address, did your undergrad work in Dartmouth, and have a father with 20 years of experience in middle and upper management. Corporate America will assume with this background that you have had a lifelong indoctrination and exposure to white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture and values, as well as an appreciation for the intellectual process. At that point, a corporate personal manager may feel you are properly oriented to the corporate culture and will therefore hire you. If, however, you are black from Harlem and among the first generation of your family to attend college, a certain personal manager will tell you that you do not have the specific skills needed for the position. So what they're telling you is that your A's in philosophy, sociology, English literature, and the like are pointless from an employment perspective. One of the difficulties in understanding the perspective of the black college graduate lies in not appreciating how much self-deception is a part of the entire experience. When asked, why are you going to college? Most youngsters say to get an education. When asked to define what an education is, many are lost for words. When they get their education and then cannot get hired in the real world, many become upset. When asked why they are upset, they will say, because I cannot get a job. One can then remind them that they never said they were going to college to get a job. They said they were going to college to get an education. Many young people assumed that a job would follow the education like night follows day. One can then remind them that they could never even define what they meant by education in the first place. It is this blind and unquestioned allegiance to the college degree and self-deception as to the purpose of usefulness of college that helps keep our graduates underutilized. Not only do college graduates have problems finding employment, but black professionals catch hell also. The black professional problem is centered around the standardized test. To practice most professions, one has to not only have the educational credentials, but usually must also have a state or national license. The situation goes something like this. When all students apply to college, they usually have to submit scores for one or two national college entrance exams. Black Americans protest the use of these scores for the following reasons. First, the tests are culturally biased and are slanted to favor those who are part of or have been exposed to white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture. They ignore the values and the words used in minority culture. Secondly, the tests have a poor track record in terms of predicting the future status of minority students. Lastly, the areas covered on exam are totally irrelevant to the student's intended area of study in college. Whites eventually concede that the argument has some merit and allow blacks with lower scores to enter school. Many students will graduate. Some will have done very well. Some will have barely gotten through, while others will have fallen completely by the wayside for any number of reasons. The same process occurs on the graduate and professional school level with similar results. Upon graduating from graduate or professional schools, are blacks ready to practice their profession? Why, yes, of course. If they can get past the old dragon they have usually eluded so far, the standardized test. Even though the test was required for entrance to school, the significance of the results could be de-emphasized and acceptance could still occur. But at the point of entering the profession, the situation is quite different. This next level of standardized testing is to obtain a license to enter the field you were trained for during the last 6 to 10 years of your life. This test is non-negotiable. You cannot practice law without passing the bar exam. Then you can legally drive a car without a driver's license. Thus, we have lawyers who aren't real lawyers, doctors who can't practice medicine, accountants who aren't certified, and a whole host of other professionals who have not yet crossed the finish line. But even when many black professionals do pass all of their license exams, they may live in cities in the nation where those types of professionals are a dime a dozen and may find themselves, at least temporarily, taking a position that is, in effect, underemployment. That is, they could very well take a job that doesn't call for their skills as a lawyer, accountant, petroleumman, or petroleum engineer. Furthermore, they may not have the salary or the prospects of a person in that profession either. The main point here is the underutilization of our educated folks is another reason why we need to shift our attention to the area of sales. The pursuit of college degrees does not ensure that we're able to make a decent living, even when we jump over all the hurdles that are placed in front of us. The mood, the bank accounts, and the general predicament of too many of our educated folks is a minor image of our uneducated ones. Selling, on the other hand, is a profession that is so universal, intertwined with the total nature of how the nation operates, it would be impossible for any one agency, institution, or regulatory body to prevent us from using those basic skills in one field or another. Highly educated folks may have looked down their noses at salespeople in the past, but today they have better realized that many people in sales have more freedom, income, and status than those in more traditional professions. Great, great, great information here that George is sharing again on the myth of college. And, you know, knowing what you're going to college for, like I said, people don't know why they're going, so they want to. They're going to get an education, but they think they're going to get a job. When you said you didn't go there looking for, I'm going to college, I can learn how to get a job. And then they don't get a job. And they get frustrated because they thought they were going to have a great professional job. Very, very interesting information he shared on that. Okay, he says, reason number three we should look at sales is to bring more income into the black community. You know, we're always boasting about how much money comes through our community. You know, now we say, you know, close to $1 trillion comes through the black community. Wow, it's a lot of money. Well, we earn it, but where does it go? He says, for as long as the Census Bureau has kept records, the average black worker has been paid from between 55 to 61 cents for every dollar paid to the average white worker. So, you know, that puts us way, way, way behind. And, you know, it just really throws us off course. Even when we go to work, we don't make what our counterparts make. Since the method of generating black income have been referred to previously include labor, civil service, and corporate positions, skilled trades, and professions. Hundreds of thousands of people have fruitfully lived utilizing these strategies to secure income, perversely ignored an overall favorable strategy of income improvement has been the area of sales. The essence of local community groups, churches, or traditional civil rights organizations training black youngsters and adults in sales is almost non-existent. Thus, we have never been able to develop a tradition in selling, and that has hurt us. Very powerful statement that George puts forth. I mean, we haven't developed a tradition in selling, and that has hurt us as a community. And it's important that we begin to learn and bring that as a tradition. Selling allows black salespeople to sell to the white community, any community for that matter. If we get involved in selling to corporate America, its computer systems, phone systems, copy machines, employee benefit packs, etc., we become vehicles through which money is passed between the two communities. Since black America cannot print its own money, the only visible way we can increase the money in our community is to bring it in from an outside community. This should sound so basic and common as to be almost ridiculous. But do you realize that the overwhelming majority of the black community either does not realize it or is not acting on what they know to be true? In my mind, one situation is as bad as the other. See, I remember this song by Third World says, you know, all this buying and selling going on, this human marketplace. You know, where are we at in the fact? I remember one of my mentors, first black regional commissioner of HEW, Francis L. Warren, talks about, you know, everybody sells us something, but we don't want to sell nobody else nothing. We just like to be the consumers and the buyers. And I remember another friend of mine, a good friend and brother by the name of Ray Davis, said that the consumer junkie is worse than the drug addict junkie. At least the drug addict junkie, even though while they say they want, some of them say they want to stop doing drugs, they know they have a problem. They admit they have a problem. The consumer junkie will not admit that they have a problem. They just want to buy. So learning sales is a great opportunity for us. Reason number four, George Spear lists, is that we need to look at learning the sales occupation is better opportunities to get past the screening process. And you know what he means by that, is that, see, in a lot of jobs, there's a screening process. But when it comes to sales, there's less of a screening process. This one, no, can you sell? And they'll give you a chance. Because either you sell or you don't. And if you sell, they can care less. The bottom line is, you're able to move the product. See? And so you have a greater chance of working with a company in a sales position than you have in a traditional employment position. See? Because the world of sales differs from all others that has been mentioned above. While realistically speaking, there are many, many different types of sales positions. In the corporate environment, sales companies are every bit as strict in the screening process as other companies, in some cases even more so. Since, however, every single thing is for sale in this country, there are plenty of situations where one will not be screened out. In direct sales company, also known as door-to-door sales or multi-level sales and home party plan sales, there is very little concern about one's previous history. Information concerning criminal records, school grades, test scores, drug uses, or credit history is rarely, if ever, requested. These companies are mainly concerned on how well you perform in your relationship with them. If you pay for your products up front and operate not in their facilities, but in the same environment in which you live, there's less concern about your history because you pose very little threat to the company. This isn't to say that sales companies take no precautions as to how they are represented to the public. Every organization has a set of rules and regulations, which when broken or ignored may be grounds for dismissal. In a way, this is true justice. Rather than being labeled guilty because of past transgressions, you're considered innocent, and in some sales organization, you until you prove it otherwise. See, so you get to prove yourself. Many same principles would also apply if you started your own company. When dealing with suppliers and wholesalers, they could care less about your past, things that you have done that, you know, aren't cool. As long as you treated them fair and square, your personal background wouldn't matter. She says, in order to review what has been presented here, I'd like to repeat the following. Selling is an important skill for the black community to learn because it allows us to respond to being screened out of traditional means of making an income, the job. Personal interviewers have a responsibility to the companies to hire the best people. They can afford to be choosy because they usually are at least 3 or more times the number of applicants than actually opens. Due to black Americans' exposure to poverty, racism, and crime, as well as assumptions about values and lifestyles uncommon to the white majority, we are often screened out of many available jobs, even when we are qualified for the positions. Many companies, however, do not use screening tests and applications, but instead give an individual an even start. As long as one follows the guidelines and adequately performs in the selling of the products, he or she is allowed to make an income regardless of past mistakes. Enough said on that point. This is a great, great point that he talks about and why you really need, you know, us as African Americans to understand the skill of sales. And as we wrap up today's show, we'll cover two of his other points on why selling is so important real quick, and we'll get into some more of these tomorrow. He says there's less discrimination in income through sales. In other words, you're going to get, see, where you go on a job, you get hired, and you make 51 to 61% of what your white counterpart makes for doing the same job. And sales, if the commission is 60%, doesn't matter if you're black, white, Korean, or green, you're going to get your 60% commission on what you sold. Great, great, great point, George. So there's less discrimination in sales. 2, keeping the dollar in the black community. See, this is very, very important, you know, because we need to spend money with each other. So when we, you know, when we get involved in sales, business, you know, there was a magazine that was published at one time called Black Pages, and it was a listing of local black businesses so that people could support each other. In other communities and other ethnic groups, what they do is they spend their money with each other. I challenge people, and, you know, sometimes it's a difficult task. We need to be able to figure out how we can spend 51%, 52% of all of the dollars that we earn for the goods and services that we need with an African-American company, not just because they're black, but also because they provide quality service. That's a real toughie right there. You know, and when we can do that, then we can really begin to make an economic impact and change in our communities. Hey, you've been listening to Bobby Jaihe this morning here on this Christmas morning with going through George Shapiro's book, Getting Black Folks to Sell. And we will pick back up again on this tomorrow morning. God willing, and the creek don't rise. And we want to thank the 41,000-plus listeners who tuned in to this show this morning. And, hey, thank you so much. And, you know, may you have a wonderful holiday. Enjoy your family. And, hey, remember, there's a lot of money to be made in sales. You do not have to cry the blues right now. If you're unemployed, don't have a job, find something to legally sell. Find something to legally sell. You can get paid and make some money. And, hey, we have a business opportunity for you. And if you're interested in it, send us a text, 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. And we can engage you in the sales industry from a positive perspective with some very great legal products to sell to increase your cash flow. So until next time, again, as I said, God willing, the creek don't rise. Be right back at you tomorrow morning. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful day.